Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You are listening to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night is be here with you. So thanks so much for sticking and staying with us. Jonathan Lowe is our in-studio producer, as well as Chris Tubbs and Craig Schofer are also my producers for this show. And it's exciting to work with all three of them. Hey, Jonathan, how you be?
I am all right tonight. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You know, the rain was getting to me the last 3 days, but you get over it pretty quickly, you know, because I know how hot it may get coming up. So I'm just enjoying the rain for now.
I'm looking for 40 degrees more in temperature.
Right.
And I'm fine with rain. I'm fine with overcast, cloudy days. I just want it to be overcast and 75 and not overcast and 40.
There you go. Hey, by the way, speaking of the weather, you know it's prom season, right? And I remember, I remember my mother wanted me to wear a certain dress, you know, it had sleeves on it, and she wanted her daughter to be dressed up in that. But because I was a senior when I finally went to prom, I decided to go and pay for my own dress, to pick out my own dress. Now, do I love it or did I love it then? Yes. Do I love it today? Absolutely not. It was ridiculous. I just looked ridiculous. You know, and I see some of those shoes that are back now. I see some of those same gowns that are back now. And I just keep thinking about, wow, prom back in 1976. Can you imagine? And then the men, have you found out or heard what the men are wearing this year?
No. I am the worst person to come to when it comes to fashion. I just want to make sure that I'm not going out half naked. And then we're okay. The whole world is okay.
Like that. You know, I remember probably, you know, 15 years ago or so when the young teen boys were, you know, getting dressed up for prom, and they'd have on the tuxedo shorts, which I didn't even know that existed. And then they'd have on those long sleeve shirts that had the fake bow tie,
yep,
and the fake look as though it was a jacket. And they would,
yep,
actually wear that to prom. And
I
thought, oh, come on, guys, you can do better than that. So what did you wear?
I wore an actual tux. The senior year I wore a tux. I actually went to two proms. We had a junior prom my junior year, and we had our standard senior prom senior year. And junior year I wore a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I wore the jacket. It was a three-piece. It had a vest. It had, you know, the jacket and pants. I don't think I wore the jacket. I think I just wore the vest and the pants. And then senior year, I wore tux.
Oh, well, hey now. So which one did you have the most fun at?
To be honest, they were about the same.
Oh, that's sad. No, unless they were both fantastic.
I mean, they were fun to go to, but I don't know.
I bet you were done about an hour and 15 minutes later.
No, as soon as you got there.
No, seriously? No. Did you dance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I stayed the length of the senior prom. I'm trying to remember how long I stayed at junior prom. That's been so long,
and
my memory is not great. I'm just going to say that right now, again, for all the listeners out there. No, senior prom was great. You know, we went to the prom. We had a good time. Me and my date, which is one of my I consider her my oldest friend. We've known each other since we were 4 years old.
Still in contact with her?
Yeah, every now and again. This is the thing I say to people, especially when I know them, when I get to know them. I am horrible, especially when we drift apart and we either go to different cities or go to different circumstances. I am horrible at keeping in touch with people. I'm horrible at it. Yeah. So I need to get better at that. But no, I'll comment. We're Facebook friends, and I'll comment to her on something on Facebook, and she may comment back. And so, no, we still try to keep in touch. But I think keeping in touch today doesn't mean the same thing as keeping in touch back before
late
the internet 70s, age.
Early 80s. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the 2022 prom dresses, the trends that they've been doing this year, and I happen to see quite a few of those trends recently with, young teenagers. I shouldn't say young, but those that are probably junior or seniors in high school are going to the prom. And of course, it was low. cleavage was out, man. Let's just put it that way. Also, the women had on beautiful, beautiful colors, bright yellows and pastels. And it was just really quite stunning. But the split, usually a split when I was in high school was more of a, conservative, just up to the knee or above the knee, no further. This year, all the way up to right where the hip bone begins, or at least at the top of the leg. And they walk and it's this flowing gown and it's beautiful, but my goodness, you know, the girls are out and the slit is way all the way up. It's just terrifying.
Again, I can't say this in totality because I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent, period, let alone the parent of a young woman. But in my mind, my opinion, I'm thinking for a lot of the dads out there, okay, may not be happy with it, but at least it's not half naked. At least it's not half naked.
Amen to that. Half naked is really happening right now.
And that's not a place you want to go if you're
right,
a father.
Right, a lot of those, yeah, seriously, a father who does not want that to happen. And the whole single shoulder, one shoulder out, one in, the fitted styles, the bright colors, even some neon colors, and the leg slits, as I already said. I mean, it was really something to see. However, I will say that I think it's terrible that young people that are going to buy their dresses or the guys that are going to rent their suits, and the tuxedos, by the way, are very fitted. So, the men like to get a little more muscular and show off, right? But the cost of some of these prom dresses are $100 to $600. And just trust me, as I was perusing the other day, just to see for myself how much they were, yeah, $100. I never found one that was $100. Everything was, above $300 for sure. That's a lot of money. I think I spent like $60 for my prom dress.
It's just like everything else in society. Everything else raises over time with whether it's inflation or whether it's the demand of different materials being used, this and that and that and the other and services rendered and labor and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as much as we are not fans of it necessarily. It happens to everybody. We don't see prices go down with respect to products over time. That's just how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works. But, People are being very creative today, that's for sure. They're finding different ways to accomplish what they need to accomplish. And by the way, at 7:20, we're going to open up the phone lines if you'd like to join us to ask the question, you know, should parents pay for their prom, their children's or their teens going to the prom, whether it's a girl or a boy or both? I'm just curious about that because I had to pay for my own. My mother was not going to invest in that. I worked hard to get that money. I've been working since I was 13 years old. And I saved up and saved up and saved up. I picked out the dress and I knew what I wanted and I saved enough to buy it. You know, my mother never said, don't ask me for money. I just knew my job, if I have a job, I should pay for my own dress. So we're going to open up the phone lines at 651-461-9226. Do I have that right, Jonathan?
Yes, you do.
Okay, again, that's 651-461-9226. We'd love for you to join us and let us know if parents, if we should be the ones purchasing the dresses and the purses and the gloves and the shoes and having the makeup done and the hair done. Are we the ones responsible for that? And if so, should we also say to our children, we'll pay for it this year. Next year, you better pay me back every bit of it and buy your own if you decide to go to the junior prom as well as the senior prom. And I'm not
even sure. So you're talking about taking out loans? You want
your
kids
absolutely.
To take out a loan from the first bank of mom and dad?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we have to figure this out. I started working when I was 13. I wasn't making much money, but I was cleaning off lots in Gary, Indiana. You know, any trash, anywhere, wherever I could be. And then I came, you know, I had allergies terribly. I had hay fever and that sort of thing. And my eyes were running and red and nose was running and red from. And so I kept trying to get a job where they would move me inside. And I never did get that. You know, I just had to take some medicine back then and do the best I could. But I kept working because that's what we had to do. We were encouraged to work. Hey, this is how you use your money. This is what you can do. This is when you get your checks. All of that at 13. You know, and there are a lot of young people today that are working early ages, right? Like 14, 15, 16. But man, prom? To pay for prom? Just think about going out to dinner, Jonathan. Going out to dinner during prom, after prom.
Yeah, or
man,
before.
We went all the way to Chicago. We went all the way to the Chicago to the Palmer House. And we had 45 minutes to eat the food and get home because if I didn't come in that door before midnight, I was in deep trouble. We got to take a break and we'll come back in a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It is now 7:23 here at WCCO, and as we promised, we are opening up the phone lines just for you. You are listening to Steel Talk, and it is what I love to do is talk with you. So give us a call at 651-461-9226. Again, that's 651-461-9226. Jonathan Lohr is our in-studio producer, and he will absolutely take your call. Here's the thing. When I started, Jonathan, at 13, I was so happy to get a check. I mean, I was so really, really happy to get a check. And I turned 14. My father was killed in January of 73 by a drunk driver. And when I turned 14, I just thought, oh, my gosh, I've been working since I'm 13 and I'm just going to keep going, because we really needed to do that to help my mom out in any way that we could, from mowing the grass. You know, we'd go anywhere we could where we can make a little change for a job. Now, you and I were just talking during the break, and you were saying that you really didn't have a job until you were in high school and really like your senior year.
Yep, I did not. The first part-time job I had. Now, I did earn a little money doing tutoring once, twice a week over at one of the community resource centers that in the area in Kansas City when I was a sophomore and a junior. But that was, again, maybe twice a week, usually is once a week. And it was a very small check. Well, I didn't get my first part-time gig until I was a senior in high school. When I started my high school senior year in August, I started applying for jobs, I think, a couple weeks before that, and got a job and worked that job all throughout my senior year. And unfortunately for me, that's when the floodgates open, because I was fortunate enough, again, and I've said this before on the air, fortunate enough to have college basically not paid for. I didn't need to pay.
What a blessing.
What?
What a blessing.
It was. I thank my lucky stars to this day. And so because of that, I was able to go try to work at different little locations on campus to maybe further my ability to get into the media business. So I worked. I did tutor. I continued to tutor in college. I worked at a national public radio station on campus. I worked at the student newspaper to get money. I worked three or four different jobs. I reffed early on in my college career. So once I started working, I didn't stop. Really, until I graduated college. So just because I didn't start working at a really, really, really young age, that didn't mean I didn't know the value of it. I didn't know the success that you felt. But I was in a fortunate situation. And that's the other thing. When you talk about your situation when you were young, my situation when I was young, two completely different situations it ended up being. And so you have to look into the financial situations, the marital situations and status, and all of that, and even more. We can't put everything in a single box,
because so many situations are different. I'm not judging you. I am not judging you at all.
I didn't think you were.
Not at all. Here's the thing for me is I'm really grateful I started that young, because I wanted to work. I wanted to help out in any way I could in the household after my father was taken. So I'm not going to kid you. I didn't mind it at all. The painful part was that I was constantly sneezing and my eyes were watering, and sometimes I couldn't see what was on the ground or anything.
You got what we like to call the raw end. You got a pretty raw deal there.
I don't think I got a raw deal. I really believe the blessing was that I learned the ethics of working. You get there on time. I didn't learn that for high school. Let me tell you something. High school, I was late so many times I had to take the city bus in because I would wake up 15 minutes late, you know?
You can find the ethics of being on time if you're working at a fast food restaurant, or if you're you don't have to be working in parking lots in the snow.
Well, no, but Anyway, we were asking the question, and we're running out of time, but we were asking the question if parents should pay for whatever their son has to rent or their daughter has to buy for prom. Tickets at one of, I think it was the St. Paul schools, if I'm not mistaken, forgive me if I am, I think it was $40 for their prom. And I don't think it was per couple. I'm not quite sure, so I need to look into that. But I remember reading $40, and I don't remember that for the prom. You know, ours was like $12 or $15, no more than that, that I can remember.
And I'm, I guess, personally, I don't think I'm going to be necessarily a fan of ever paying tickets to go to, like, your own school's dance. I understand you're trying to pay for all the, I'm sorry, was there a truck back there? Was there a, was there a delivery truck backing into your driveway or something? This sounded weird.
No, no, family just came home. So mom just walked in with
Oh, so that's the warning sign.
No. No,
warning,
Jonathan,
danger.
No.
The fam is back.
I've got to stop him from talking. I got to stop you from talking. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with the weather in a moment. It is now 7:35 here at WCCO Radio. Welcome back to Steel Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And I tell you, just months ago, it feels like we were having all kind of problems getting people to take a job, right? They used to say the young people just weren't taking the jobs. And, you know, everywhere you looked, it was, oh my gosh, we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring. But unemployment claim numbers show more people are heading back to the workforce, and employees are reaping the benefits of a hot labor market. We're talking high wages are drawing people back after the Great Resignation, but many employers are finding that's not, well, that's still not enough to fill their empty jobs. So local business coach Gary Watts with Pinnacle Business Guides is joining us now to explain how companies are getting creative when it comes to hiring. Welcome, Gary. How are you?
Well, thank you, Geraldine. Very good. So it's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
It's great to have you. Okay, so yeah, young people, a lot of people complained that they were the ones that would not take a job. And then there were the older generation that was, you know, moving out and retired and just thought, I'm done with working. Some of them started coming back, I heard. I'm not quite sure of that. But tell us, how in the world did we get here today where really the job market has just filled up?
Right. You know, we've gone through the last 2 years where it was termed the Great Resignation. And I think right now the term that people are using is the Great Renegotiation. And employers are renegotiating with the employees as to what that work looks like and how they're going to do it.
When someone says job openings are near record highs, what does that exactly mean? Give us a number.
Well, I don't know if I have a number for you, but I think what's happening in the marketplace is that the record highs are the employers are looking for that ideal candidate, the one with the degrees, you know, the credentials, that type of thing, and they're not finding that person. And what they're finding, I think, is people that have skills. And so they're starting to change the requirements without lowering their standards, so to speak. And as they change those requirements, they're looking for people that have people skills and other types of skills. And that's what they're dealing with.
You just said a moment ago that they're looking for people with degrees. And I'm just curious about that. You know, I was always taught if you have an undergraduate degree, you're doing great. You'll get the jobs. You'll do well if you pay attention and you know what you're doing. However, there are so many that are getting degrees. And I'm wondering if they are the ones that are really applying for some of these jobs, and making more money, or are they still going after those that are in, they are in some type of craft, like a plumber, that sort of thing. Are they getting the jobs, or those that go to community colleges? Tell us a little bit more about what it takes to get some of these jobs.
Yeah, I think from an employee standpoint, you know, if you're looking for a job, it's a great time to look. Employers are more open, I think, to hiring non-traditional candidates. And the recommendation I would say is search for those companies that match your core values, core values that fit your core values. And then as you apply for those jobs, if you don't have that degree, if you don't have that certification.
Are you there? Are you there? I'm so sorry. I believe we lost Gary for a moment. Gary Watts, we were talking about the unemployment claims numbers that show more people are heading back to workforce, to the workforce. And seriously, they're making good money. They're giving them a living wage, which we've talked about many times here on Still Talking, about the importance of a living wage. And Gary Watts has been joining us. He's with Pinnacle Business Guides, and he's going to, hopefully we'll get him back on to talk about how these people that are looking for a job have gotten really creative. And the companies have gotten really creative on how to seduce them to come and apply for a job at a lot of these small businesses, middle-sized businesses, corporations, you name it. But you don't hear as much as we used to hear about young people just aren't taking a job. I believe Gary is back with us.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Oh, Gary. Oh, that's all right. Okay, so when we start looking at what it means for those that have the degrees or has a degree or there are companies that are hiring people, period, that want to work and have the skills to do it. And so what companies were the ones that first found their way to interact with the age group that they wanted to hire? Because not all corporations, not all companies, not all small businesses are looking for young people or middle-aged people or senior citizens all at one time. A lot of times they have a specific group that they're looking for, correct?
Correct. That's exactly right. So, again, I think as I've worked with our business clients at Pinnacle, one of the things that we see is if they're clear on their strategic vision, if they're clear on their core values, and they've developed a very good place to work, okay, a good place to work, they're genuinely, you know, devoted to that. What they're finding is people are not leaving, and people are being attracted to those types of companies. And so I think it's really key that you have to develop that positive culture and a great place to work in this environment.
We have five generations that are working today, from the youngest, the ones that are in their early 20s, you know, or 18 to 25, or those that are mid-range, 30s to 45, and those above that. And as you keep looking at these groups and they're applying for these jobs, we have all five in some companies, some nonprofits even, that are working together. That excites me to know, because we can learn from each other, right? We can learn
right
from each other. And I think the companies have really started to invest in that. Am I correct?
Right. You know, one of the things is doing training, you know, between the different generations and getting that mentoring set up in some cases, further training, the leadership development, those types of things. That's what we're working with our clients. And it seems to be working really well.
So there are people listening tonight that are job seekers, and I'm just wondering, there are a lot of people out there trying to train people over, you know, starting to retrain them to say, no, this is the new way that we're going to do it since the Great Resignation. And so what changes are you seeing? What tactics are they using now for job seekers to try to seduce them and get them into the programs, into the companies that they want?
Yeah, well, I think they're looking at, you know, the hybrid models. You know, bringing people back into the office, but then also having that flexibility and allowing them to work from home. I think the other things that are important to the employee is not only the work environment and how they're working, but, you know, the other parts of their life. And so an employer that is accommodating that, helping them with that, I think is got a leg up on everybody else. I think the other thing that employers are doing with their training is when they onboard somebody, they're looking at those onboarding processes and the training that comes as a result over the next, you know, 3 months, 6 months, year, and even doing like a loyalty bonus or something like that after, say, 15 months or 18 months, trying to connect those people. It's interesting that most employees, when they're new, they decide whether or not they're going to stay at an employer within the first 30 days that they're employed. And so that onboarding process, that onboarding process has to be great. You know, we really have to be good at that if you're an employer today.
I love that you talked about how the values fit you. And of course, Pinnacle Business Guides, you guys believe that if you see a job that you're not quite qualified for, but your core values line up, be honest about your skills and experience while still highlighting the great things. That is so integral to the success of the company, the business, and the employees. And I'm wondering, when you're trying to talk to young people about that specifically, how are they approaching that? How do they accept it, or are they not really accepting that advice?
I think they're accepting it. I think that you know, it's hard for them maybe to believe that they can qualify for it as a result of not having those credentials. And yet what we're finding is that the other skills that they bring to the table, whether it be people skills or, you know, it's specific skills in analytics or IT or whatever it is, that as long as they're willing to grow and embrace that process, and you have an employer that is willing to train and create a pathway for their career, you know, I think that's a good match, and I think that's what they're looking for, and they should find that today. There's more and more employers that are doing that type of work.
What have you learned since the pandemic and so many lost their jobs? Many of their what they were experts at, they are not anymore. Many of them left cities. They went home to stay with mom and dad. And as you see them starting to come back into the industries, are they disappointed? Do they feel like, I don't want to do this anymore? I want something more meaningful.
For sure. That's exactly, I think, what a lot of people are contemplating today is not only do they want to work from home or have some sort of hybrid model that they want available to them, they want meaningful work. They want an employer in a place where they can go, and there's great communication. There's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
It is now 7:35 here at WCCO Radio. Welcome back to Steele Talkin'. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. And I tell you, just months ago, it feels like we were having all kind of problems getting people to take a job, right? They used to say the young people just weren't taking the jobs. And, you know, everywhere you looked, it was, oh my gosh, we're hiring, we're hiring, we're hiring. But unemployment claim numbers show more people are heading back to the workforce, and employees are reaping the benefits of a hot labor market. We're talking high wages are drawing people back after the Great Resignation, but many employers are finding that's still not enough to fill their empty jobs. So local business coach Gary Watts with Pinnacle Business Guides is joining us now to explain how companies are getting creative when it comes to hiring. Welcome, Gary. How are you?
Well, thank you, Geralyn. Very good. So it's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
It's great to have you. Okay, so yeah, young people, a lot of people complain that they were the ones that would not take a job. And then there were the older generation that was, you know, moving out and retired and just thought, I'm done with working. Some of them started coming back, I heard. I'm not quite sure of that. But tell us, how in the world did we get here today where really the job market has just filled up?
Right. You know, we've gone through the last 2 years where it was termed the Great Resignation. And I think right now the term that people are using is the Great Renegotiation. And employers are renegotiating with the employees as to what that work looks like and how they're going to do it.
When someone says job openings are near record highs, what does that exactly mean? Give us a number.
Well, I don't know if I have a number for you, but I think what's happening in the marketplace is that the record highs are the employers are looking for that ideal candidate, the one with the degrees, you know, the credentials, that type of thing, and they're not finding that person. And what they're finding, I think, is people that have skills. And so they're starting to change the requirements without lowering their standards, so to speak. And as they change those requirements, they're looking for people that have people skills and other types of skills. And that's what they're dealing with.
You just said a moment ago that they're looking for people with degrees, and I'm just curious about that. You know, I was always taught if you have an undergraduate degree, you're doing great. You'll get the jobs. You'll do well if you pay attention and you know what you're doing. However, there are so many that are getting degrees, and I'm wondering if they are the ones that are really applying for some of these jobs and making more money, or are they still going after those that are in they are in some type of craft, like a plumber, that sort of thing. Are they getting the jobs or those that go to community colleges? Tell us a little bit more about what it takes to get some of these jobs.
Yeah, I think from an employee standpoint, you know, if you're looking for a job, it's a great time to look. Employers are more open, I think, to hiring non-traditional candidates. And I guess the recommendation I would say is search for those companies that match your core values that fit your core values. And then as you apply for those jobs, if you don't have that degree, if you don't have that certification.
Are you there? Are you there? I'm so sorry. I believe we lost Gary for a moment. Gary Watts. We were talking about the unemployment claims numbers that show more people are heading back to workforce, to the workforce. And seriously, they're making good money. They're giving them a living wage, which we've talked about many times here on Steele Talkin', about the importance of a living wage. And Gary Watts has been joining us. He's with Pinnacle Business Guides, and he's going to, hopefully we'll get him back on to talk about how these people that are looking for a job have gotten really creative. And the companies have gotten really creative on how to seduce them to come and apply for a job at a lot of these small businesses, middle-sized businesses, corporations, you name it. But you don't hear as much as we used to hear about young people just aren't taking a job. I believe Gary is back with us.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Oh, Gary. Oh, that's all right. Okay, so when we start looking at what it means for those that have the degrees or has a degree, or there are companies that are hiring people, period, that want to work and have the skills to do it. And so what companies were the ones that first found their way to interact with the age group that they wanted to hire? Because not all corporations, not all companies, not all small businesses are looking for young people or middle-aged people or senior citizens all at one time. A lot of times they have a specific group that they're looking for, correct?
Correct. That's exactly right. So, again, I think as I've worked with our business clients at Pinnacle, one of the things that we see is if they're clear on their strategic vision, if they're clear on their core values, and they've developed a very good place to work, okay, a good place to work, they're genuinely, you know, devoted to that. What they're finding is people are not leaving, and people are being attracted to those types of companies. And so I think it's really key that you have to develop that positive culture and a great place to work in this environment.
We have five generations that are working today, from the youngest, the ones that are in their early 20s, you know, or 18 to 25, or those that are mid-range, 30s to 45, and those above that. And as you keep looking at these groups and they're applying for these jobs, we have all five in some companies, some nonprofits even, that are working together. That excites me to know, because we can learn from each other, right? We can learn right from each other. And I think the companies have really started to invest in that. Am I correct?
Right. You know, one of the things is doing training, you know, between the different generations and getting that mentoring set up in some cases, further training, the leadership development, those types of things. That's what we're working with our clients. And it seems to be working really well.
So there are people listening tonight that are job seekers, and I'm just wondering, there are a lot of people out there trying to train people over, you know, starting to retrain them to say, no, this is the new way that we're going to do it since the Great Resignation. And so what changes are you seeing? What tactics are they using now for job seekers to try to seduce them and get them into the programs, into the companies that they want?
Yeah, well, I think they're looking at, you know, the hybrid models. You know, bringing people back into the office, but then also having that flexibility and allowing them to work from home. I think the other things that are important to the employee is not only the work environment and how they're working, but, you know, the other parts of their life. And so an employer that is accommodating that, helping them with that, I think is got a leg up on everybody else. I think the other thing that employers are doing with their training is when they onboard somebody, they're looking at those onboarding processes and the training that comes as a result over the next, you know, 3 months, 6 months, year, and even doing like a loyalty bonus or something like that after, say, 15 months or 18 months, trying to connect those people. It's interesting that most employees, when they're new, they decide whether or not they're going to stay at an employer within the first 30 days that they're employed. And so that onboarding process, that onboarding process has to be great. You know, we really have to be good at that if you're an employer today.
I love that you talked about how the values fit you. And of course, Pinnacle Business Guides, you guys believe that if you see a job that you're not quite qualified for, but your core values line up, be honest about your skills and experience while still highlighting the great things. That is so integral to the success of the company, the business, and the employees. And I'm wondering, when you're trying to talk to young people about that specifically, how are they approaching that? How do they accept it, or are they not really accepting that advice?
I think they're accepting it. I think that you know, it's hard for them maybe to believe that they can qualify for it as a result of not having those credentials. And yet what we're finding is that the other skills that they bring to the table, whether it be people skills or you know, it's specific skills in analytics or IT or whatever it is, that as long as they're willing to grow and embrace that process, and you have an employer that is willing to train and create a pathway for their career, you know, I think that's a good match. And I think that's what they're looking for. And they should find that today. There's more and more employers that are doing that type of work.
What have you learned since the pandemic and so many lost their jobs? Many of their what they were experts at, they are not anymore. Many of them left cities. They went home to stay with mom and dad. And as you see them starting to come back into the industries, are they disappointed? Do they feel like, I don't want to do this anymore? I want something more meaningful.
For sure. That's exactly, I think, what a lot of people are contemplating today is not only do they want to work from home or have some sort of hybrid model that they want available to them, they want meaningful work. They want an employer and in a place where they can go and there's great communication, there's trust, and there's something for them to believe in and to work towards that's greater than just the job.
Could you tell us here in Minnesota, when it comes to getting the job market really getting hot and people are being hired, where do we stand when it comes to how many people are unemployed here in this great state of Minnesota?
I was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting recently, the state Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I believe the number was like 12 million people that are still either unemployed or underemployed. And as that relates to the rest of the country, I think it's probably better than in a lot of states. But, you know, still that's a lot of people that are either unemployed or underemployed and still looking for something different.
As a local business coach, and this is my last question, Gary, I'm just curious to know how many more the numbers going up for, you know, the numbers of people that you are coaching, or are you seeing it kind of leveling out right now?
No, I'd say that our business is growing. There's, you know, a lot of people don't know they're looking for a coach, but everybody can use a coach. And so, you know, as we have those conversations and we develop, you know, some of the issues and the ideas around that and what they're looking for, we can bring tools and systems. That's what we do at Pinnacle, bring tools and systems to them to help them execute at a higher level.
Well, I tell you, Gary Watts, local business coach with Pinnacle Business Guides, it's been a pleasure to talk with you tonight. And I will keep trying to find out those numbers and see how they're constantly increasing. And I'll start talking to some young people in different organizations and groups, you know, mentors, that sort of thing, and just kind of listen to what they're thinking about the jobs that they're taking, especially young people. So I thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Take care, Gary.
All right. Bye now.
All right. It is now 7:48. We're going to take a break. It is now 7:53 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we wrap up this half hour, I have to tell you, when you think about going back to work, there have been so many young people and those that were in their 30s, 40s, and even 50s that I've talked to that have said it's changed their life. I know that the pandemic has changed us. That's a fact. And I would venture to say that it hasn't just changed us here in America, but it's changed us as people, as human beings all around the world. With that said, does that mean that the way we look at life has changed? The way we want to work has changed? The way we want to learn has changed? I would say yes to all of those things. And not, well, usually we don't have those in the C-suite who would actually agree with that necessarily. But really, it is a major change that has happened in our world. And although we go back to work and we consistently do what we do because it's comfortable and we enjoy it, the bottom line is there are still bubbles of change that are popping up everywhere. Young people, middle-aged people, older people, all are deciding to live in this world together in a different way. And I wonder sometimes even for myself what I'm looking for. I'm still trying to define what this is that feels like something that's pulling on my heart. And I haven't gotten clarity for it just yet. So I'm patient and I get quiet and I wait to say, what is this? What is this feeling that I'm feeling? And maybe you're feeling something tug on your heartstrings as well when it comes to how you live, where you live, and with whom you live with. Now, I don't know about you, Jonathan. You may be one of those that's just comfortable in his space and nothing has changed for you. But I'd like to know, has this COVID experience changed you?
I don't know yet. I think I'm still trying to figure that out. And I was talking, I believe I was talking with someone, the other day, one of my family members talking about how I've kind of changed before this whole thing, kind of when I moved here. I've lived here for a decade and a half. I didn't know if I'd ever see myself living anywhere for a decade and a half other than maybe Kansas City. I work at this station, and I've been here now for a dozen years. Before that, I never had that kind of continuity in my life, whether it was going to a specific school or going to a specific job. I've never worked this long at a specific location. And so stuff like that is making me wonder, am I settling? Mm-hmm. And am I maybe due for a change? Is a change around the corner? Do I need to shake things up? I don't know. But I know the pandemic has done this much more for other people than for someone like myself. But maybe I'm starting to turn that around in my brain and say, is it time for a shift? Do I need to start shifting the way a lot of other people have in not just this country, but around the world? I mean, you hear about all these different things, whether they're businesses or nonprofits or just ways of life that have started because of the pandemic. And if you're unchanged by it, you've been changed by it in some way, shape, or form. You just may not know it yet.
Well, I have to tell you, man, a lot of people are trying to figure this out just like you are, because we are different now. I know I am. We're just different. And that's okay. Hopefully we're different in the best way possible. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us for this half hour as well. Coming up is the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to start out with Dr. Josh Umber, founder of Atlas MD. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:53 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we wrap up this half hour, I have to tell you, when you think about going back to work, there have been so many young people and those that were in their 30s, 40s, and even 50s that I've talked to that have said it's changed their life. I know that the pandemic has changed us. That's a fact. And I would venture to say that it hasn't just changed us here in America, but it's changed us as people, as human beings all around the world. With that said, does that mean that the way we look at life has changed? The way we want to work has changed? The way we want to learn has changed? I would say yes to all of those things. And not, well, usually we don't have those in the C-suite who would actually agree with that necessarily. But really, it is a major change that has happened in our world. And although we go back to work and we consistently do what we do because it's comfortable and we enjoy it, the bottom line is there are still bubbles of change that are popping up everywhere. Young people, middle-aged people, older people, all are deciding to live in this world together in a different way. And I wonder sometimes even for myself what I'm looking for. I'm still trying to define what this is that feels like something that's pulling on my heart. And I haven't gotten clarity for it just yet. So I'm patient and I get quiet and I wait to say, what is this? What is this feeling that I'm feeling? And maybe you're feeling something tug on your heartstrings as well when it comes to how you live, where you live, and with whom you live with. Now, I don't know about you, Jonathan. You may be one of those that's just comfortable in his space and nothing has changed for you. But I'd like to know, has this COVID experience changed you?
I don't know yet. I think I'm still trying to figure that out. And I was talking, I believe I was talking with someone, the other day, one of my family members talking about how I've kind of changed before this whole thing, kind of when I moved here. I've lived here for a decade and a half. I didn't know if I'd ever see myself living anywhere for a decade and a half other than maybe Kansas City. I work at this station, and I've been here now for a dozen years. Before that, I never had that kind of continuity in my life, whether it was going to a specific school or going to a specific job. I've never worked this long at a specific location. And so stuff like that is making me wonder, am I settling? Mm-hmm. And am I maybe due for a change? Is a change around the corner? Do I need to shake things up? I don't know. But I know the pandemic has done this much more for other people than for someone like myself. But maybe I'm starting to turn that around in my brain and say, is it time for a shift? Do I need to start shifting the way a lot of other people have in not just this country, but around the world? I mean, you hear about all these different things, whether they're businesses or nonprofits or just ways of life that have started because of the pandemic. And if you're unchanged by it, you've been changed by it in some way, shape, or form. You just may not know it yet.
Well, I have to tell you, man, a lot of people are trying to figure this out just like you are, because we are different now. I know I am. We're just different. And that's okay. Hopefully we're different in the best way possible. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us for this half hour as well. Coming up is the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to start out with Dr. Josh Umber, founder of Atlas MD. We'll be back in a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.